Iran slams international silence on chemical weapons use in Syria. Syrian opposition coalition chief resigns. FSA refuses to recognize Ito as opposition prime minister. An Iranian lawmaker terms the US offer of direct talks with Iran as propaganda gesture. Former President Pervez Musharraf returns to Pakistan despite death threats. And UN Special Envoy to Myanmar terms Buddhist actions against Muslims as criminal actions. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs has criticized the silence of international community following the use of chemical weapons by militants against the people of Syria. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said, as the biggest victim of chemical weapons, Iran strongly condemns using of these weapons by terrorists and extremists in Syria who act under the disguise of opposition. At least 25 people were killed and 86 others injured after militants fired missiles containing poisonous gas into Aleppo's Khan al-Assad village on March 19th. Women and children were among the victims. The attack came after Syria's opposition coalition, known as the Syrian National Coalition, chose a Syrian-born American citizen, Hassan Ito, as the prime minister of what they call an interim government. The Syrian crisis began in mid-March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence, and several international human rights organizations say the foreign-sponsored militants have committed war crimes. Now, the leader of Syria's opposition national coalition, Ahmed Muiz al-Khatib, has resigned from his post in protest against the institutional limitations of the foreign-backed body. Khatib issued a statement on Sunday saying that he had promised to resign if what he called certain red lines were reached. He did not provide any further explanations. His surprise resignation comes days after Syria's opposition coalition elected Hassan Ito as prime minister of the so-called opposition interim government. He had repeatedly warned to quit for some time, objecting to an interim premiership. In other news, the main militant groups operating in Syria, the terrorist Free Syrian Army, has refused to recognize Hassan Ito as prime minister of the interim government. The so-called Free Syrian Army announced on Sunday that Ito was forced on the national coalition rather than being chosen by consensus, therefore the group does not recognize him as opposition prime minister. Meantime, the Zionist regime forces have fired rockets at the Syrian army across the occupied Golan Heights. The Zionist military also confirmed the news. The regime of Tel Aviv seized the Golan Heights from Syria in the 1967 Six-Day War and annexed it in 1981 in a move never recognized by the international community. Now, the spokesman for the Iranian Majlis, or the Parliament National Security and Foreign Policy Commission, has warned that the US policies regarding Iran are sprinkled with deception, saying Washington's offer to hold direct talks with Iran is just a propaganda gesture. Sayyid Hossein Aghavi Hosseini said over the past months, Americans have adopted a propaganda gesture in the international scene, and from time to time, one of the US officials speaks about direct talks with Iran. He added that the US officials pursue nothing but deceit because they have made no practical changes in their attitudes toward Iran. He also underlined that the US mounts pressure and sanctions against the Islamic Republic and at the same time expresses readiness to negotiate with Iran. He emphasized that Iranian officials should not be deceived by such U.S. gestures and should not think that Washington is in practice committed to its claims. Now, former Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf has returned home after 4 years of self-exile despite threats by pro-Taliban militants to kill him upon arrival. On Sunday, Musharraf's plane touched down at Karachi International Airport after a flight from Dubai. He has returned to stand in the upcoming general elections, which are slated for May, in defiance of death threats from militants. Musharraf, who was a US ally in the so-called War on Terror, left Pakistan in 2008 and has been living in London and Dubai ever since. The former army chief turned president faces a string of charges, including involvement in the 2007 assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, but a court in Karachi has secured Musharraf's freedom by granting him a 14-day bail. Human Rights Watch has called on the Pakistani government to hold Musharraf accountable for widespread and serious human rights abuses under his rule. Meantime, Pakistan's Election Commission has chosen a former High Court Justice Chief to serve as caretaker Prime Minister in the run-up to a historic national election this spring. The head of the Election Commission announced a decision to appoint Mir Hazer Khan Khosrow on Sunday. Khosrow served as the Justice Chief to the High Court in southwest Balochistan province and also briefly served as the acting governor of the province. The Election Commission chose Khosrow out of four nominees, two submitted by the recently ruling Pakistan's People Party and two by the main opposition, Pakistan Muslim League. Pakistan is scheduled to hold parliamentary elections on May 11th, which is the first transition from democratically elected governments in the country's history.
It's a very important issue. This gentleman is going to hold free and fair election along with us. He's the government, but he's also obliged to assist us in holding free and fair election.
And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Iran slams international silence on chemical weapons use in Syria. Syrian opposition coalition chief resigns. FSA refuses to recognize Ito as opposition prime minister. An Iranian lawmaker terms the US offer of direct talks with Iran as propaganda gesture. Former President Pervez Musharraf returns to Pakistan despite death threats. And UN Special Envoy to Myanmar terms Buddhist actions against Muslims as criminal actions. Dozens of houses and a mosque have been burned in a fresh wave of violence in central Myanmar after at least 32 people were killed in attacks by extremist Buddhists against Muslims in Yamthin town. Yamthin is located in southeast of Melita, where thousands of Muslim residents fled their homes following several days of deadly unrest. Clashes erupted late on Wednesday after extremist Buddhists set fire to several mosques in the city. The unrest comes amid heightened tensions between the two sides, which have left at least 180 people dead and more than 100,000 Muslims displaced since June 2012. The silence of the human rights organizations towards abuses against the Rohingya Muslims has emboldened the extremist Buddhists and Myanmar's government forces. The Buddhist majority government of Myanmar refuses to recognize Rohingyas and has classified them as illegal migrants, even though the Rohingyas are said to be Muslim descendants of Persian, Turkish, Bengali origin who migrated to Myanmar as early as the 8th century. Meantime, the UN Secretary General's Special Envoy to Myanmar said Muslims feel insecure and Buddhist action in central Myanmar should be seen as criminal actions. 4 days after an outbreak of violence in central Myanmar, the Special Advisor of the United Nations Secretary General on Myanmar visited the area on Sunday to survey the situation. Nambiar said extremist Buddhists have destroyed houses and mosques and over 2,000 people have been displaced due to the violence.
From what I can see is that they are obviously feeling very insecure because their houses have been destroyed. Mosques, they say all the mosques have been destroyed in this locality. But they are being provided with food and health care, and they don't have any complaints about the basic necessities. They are, of course, worried, and I have tried to stress to them that this should be seen as criminal action and it should not be converted into a major communal problem, and that the communities must learn to live together.
Now in Europe, a charity in Britain has rated suicide as the biggest killer of young men across the country, with financial problems playing a key role in people's depression. The charity named the campaign Against Living Miserably singled out 2011 as the year of its significant rise in suicide rate, when over 6,000 people took their own lives. The latest figures showed that 3 young men take their own lives on average every day across the country, and the recession is thought to be playing a part in many of the deaths. According to the figure, the highest rate was in the males aged 30 to 44. It is believed that hundreds of male suicides could be prevented if men felt able to ask for help when they desperately need it. According to the charity, men experience a cultural barrier when it comes to seeking professional help, restricted by modern society, which expects them to be immune to a nervous breakdown. Research by the University of Liverpool also shows that recession in Britain has caused about 1,000 additional suicides in England. Now, tens of thousands of French families, activists and conservatives converged on the capital on Sunday to try to stop the country from allowing same-sex couples to marry and adopt children. The lower house of parliament approved a marriage for everyone bill last month with a large majority, and it's facing a vote in the Senate next month. Both houses are dominated by French President Francois Hollande's Social Party and its allies. Protesters held banners demanding that the French president focus on curbing unemployment rather than passing the bill. In an indication of the sensitivity of the issue, protesters were barred from marching on the landmark Champs-Élysées that cuts through central Paris. Polls indicate a shrinking majority of French voters backing gay marriage, which is legal in about a dozen mostly European nations and some US states. Now, a type of algae could help fossil fuels go green. Researchers think that they have the solution to carbon emissions that might be the future for cleaning up greenhouse gases. It also helps to clean up fossil fuels and offer a basic food supply for the world. The algae literally eats the methane, gobbling up the CO2 and other gases, including nitrous oxide.
We can take the flue gas, the exhaust gas, from the burning of any fossil fuel and basically clean that fossil fuel up, clean that up. Fossil fuels, can you imagine, fossil fuels can be a clean energy source. That's just unheard of today.
The high-tech bio is particularly interested in, you know, to find a strain that can sequester the CO2, and that's the first criteria we have to meet. And also they're looking for the strain that can grow fast, and so they can have a high productivity, and also they want a strain that can produce high lipid content, which they can be used for biofuel production.
This algae that is here right now, it appears to be very, very dark, maybe black, but that's because of our particular light. It's actually a very deep emerald green, and these particular cultures are grown up and are thick and are ready to be transferred to the larger tanks right now.
Our algae is extremely high valuable. It can be used for pharmaceutical skin conditioning, used for thickening cosmetics and paints. It can be used for producing bioplastics. It can be produced for additive foods for nutraceuticals and food supplements for hungry people around the world, and also biofuels. So the byproducts of our products, the algae and the oxygen, are very, very valuable.
And finally, extreme winter weather conditions continue to grip Britain and has faced many roads to close. Severe weather conditions across many parts of Britain have also caused disruption to communities, bringing down power lines and closing regional airports. Motorists faced some of the worst conditions this year as the snow and the scarce visibility disrupted transport across much of the country. Thousands of homes are still without power after a blackout on Friday night.
Overnight we were very busy with people stuck in snow. Obviously at a weekend, so it is a little bit quieter, but we are anticipating, if this snow doesn't disappear, a very busy weekend and into Monday.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.